Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. I was considering something in Romans 11:33, if you would turn there just for a brief moment. Very frequently we come into situations we don't get. We don't like it, we don't get it. We come into situations we don't understand. We think we have something from God. We do our best. We follow the leading as best as we are able. And something happens. And we don't get it. It's like, God, why did you let this happen? Things were moving right along. Why did you let this happen? Have you ever been there? I know I've been there on numerous occasions. God, how could you let this happen? I was doing well. And you wonder, God, are you really faithful to me? Are you really going to do what you promised? There's 7,837 promises in the Bible, God. Are they really for me or are they just words on a page? Like, what's the story? Well, in Romans 11:33, the Word of God says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." Oh, the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. There are things, there is wisdom that God has that I cannot comprehend. I am a man and I am made of dust. But there is wisdom that God has that I cannot comprehend. I can't see my way through it. You know, every time in my life I thought that I have figured out the plan of God, and I've been at it a while now, every time that I thought I figured out the plan of God, I found God showed me I was completely off the mark. Like, God, I think this is how it's going to happen, right? And God said, no. And I figure out my path. And God, this is it. This is how I'm going to do this and I'm going to do the other thing. And this is where it's going to take me. And God says, no, that's not how it works. It's not going to take you there. I'm going to have you do one thing to get you somewhere else. Like, I'm going to have you paint a barn to teach you how to, whatever, dance. It almost reminds me of that movie, Karate Kid, like, wash the car, right? But in a way, it's like how God works. Like, His knowledge and His wisdom are beyond my capacity to understand because He has an eternal, all-knowing mind. The mind that can conceive the entirety of the universe, and I can't see into 2 seconds in the future. But God knows, like, He knows the start, He knows the end, He knows all the in-between. He knows what is in your heart, He knows what is in my heart. He knows exactly what He needs to do, and He never works on one level. He works on all the levels. So maybe I'm waxing the car and I don't get it, but He's teaching me karate. Because He knows that somewhere along the line, that's what I'm going to need to know. This is how He works. His wisdom and His knowledge are past finding out. When I graduated Bible college, I went on the mission field. Okay, we're going to do it on the mission field. And then a year later, God says, go home. I said, what? I just got here. He said, that's enough. Go home. And he said, okay, go pursue medical school. And at this point, I knew that I was called to be a pastor. And God says, go pursue medical school. I said, God, I'm called to be a pastor. He said, go pursue medical school. So I go pursue medical school. And I get a fine science education, and I get 2 degrees in science. And I'm shooting for medical school, and I get interviewed at the best schools. And the doors won't open. And I said, God, what's going on here? You told me to pursue this, and I put 10, 12 years into this. But I know that I'm supposed to be a pastor. Why are you sending me into science for? I didn't know that I needed to learn science to become a pastor. But I did, because it was science that led to our church here. Now, who would have thought that? I certainly didn't. I figured I'd be a doctor. God says, go pursue medical. I must be a doctor. God says, no. Just pursue it. Just pursue it. You know, in my makeup, I needed the motivation. I needed a carrot at the end of the stick. Yeah. I didn't get it. Why? Because His wisdom and His knowledge, right? His wisdom and His knowledge are past finding out. They're unsearchable. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past? You don't get His ways. What do? I simply trust God in the moment. Because I can't trust God tomorrow. Why can't I trust God tomorrow? Because it's today. God says, worry about today. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient for the day are the trials thereof. God says, don't worry about your tomorrow. Live with me today. And your tomorrow will take care of itself. And so I learned science and started a church. Go figure. But that's how it works with God. That's how it works with God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. You see, the thing that I do have with God, though, is a promise. For every step of the way, God gives me promises. In Isaiah 46 and verse 10, He declares the end from the beginning. And from the ancient of times, the things that are not yet come, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. What God said is what's going to be. That's all that's to it. Israel is going to enter into the promised land. Israel is going to get out of Egypt. What God said, Adam, Christ is coming. And in fact, He had already come, because in Revelation 1:8, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. But He is coming, Adam. Right? 4,000 years later, there's the Savior. The promise was for Abraham, you're going to have a son. I don't care if you're 100 years old and no good. You're going to have a son. And Abraham said, yes, sure. And sure enough, Abraham had a son. Took some time, but the promise came. You see, His ways are past finding out. In John chapter 16, He says, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. In Isaiah 42, He says, I will tell you of the things that I'm going to do. In Isaiah 43, He says, I'm going to do some new things, and I'm going to tell you about them before I do them. He declares the end from the beginning. He gives me promises to operate in as I'm going in my daily life. What am I going to do tomorrow, God? God says, don't worry about your tomorrow. Grab onto a promise and live in the day. Your tomorrow will take care of itself, because all my counsel shall stand. I will do all of my good pleasure. Has God given you a promise, maybe? All of His counsel shall stand. He will do all of His good pleasure. Don't care what it looks like. Oh, Abraham, I know you're old, wrinkled up. But it doesn't matter. You're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. Okay, God, whatever. And Sarah says, hey, Abraham, how's God going to give you a son? I'm in my 90s, you're pushing 100. How's God going to give you a son? Maybe you should take my handmaid. Maybe that's what He meant. Let's just figure it out together. Let's just make it. God said what He's going to do. It's up to us to do it, right? And what is the result? Ishmael. And God said, that ain't him. And then later on, God said, when Abraham took Isaac to the altar, He said, give me your son, your only son. That wasn't his only son. It was in God's eyes because that's the only son God gave him. That's the only son that came from the Savior for Abraham according to his promise. And Abraham could not produce the promise. Only God could produce the promise. Get this. God will always bring you into the impossible situation so that He can show you that He is faithful for you. Just like He did with Abraham, just like He did with Israel. Red Sea before you, Egyptian army behind you. Okay, Moses, what you going to do now? I'm going to trust God because He's capable of parting the Red Sea. By the way, they found the chariots. I have pictures of them. He's capable of parting the Red Sea. That's easy to God. God created the universe. You think He can't part the Red Sea? He holds your atoms together. You think He can't part the Red Sea? Of course He can. But He's going to bring you into the impossible situation so that then He can show you that He is in fact God in your life. We don't often know Him as God in our lives as believers. We live on this nice surface faith where as long as I can see my way through it, I can believe. God says, I'm not interested in what you can see. The just will live by faith, not by sight. The just live by faith. And so God brings me into a place where all I have left is the option of trusting Him. And even though I may not have the capacity yet, that's the only option I have. And then the Red Sea parts. Did any of Israel die at the hands of the Egyptians as they were standing between them and the Red Sea? Not a one. Did any of Israel die when they were passing through the Red Sea as though it were on dry ground? Not a one. Did it look like they're dying, going to die? It looked like a done deal. But not a one died. Well, it's very easy, God said. I'm just going to open up the ocean and you're going to walk through it. Go figure. Can you imagine that today? I'm just going to open up the ocean for you. You're going to walk through it. How many believers would believe God for that one? I'm going to open up the ocean. You're going to walk through it. Hey, don't worry about the ocean. I'm going to open up the lake over there. Can you believe me? I don't believe them for that one. But we are human. This is where we are. God parted the Red Sea. You see, all of God's counsel stands. And He will do all of His good pleasure. And I will not understand how He did it because His ways are past finding out and they are unsearchable. I can't get it. But you know, consider something. It's like what we've been talking about. Consider something. Turn to Nahum chapter 2. Nahum chapter 2 verse 4. Now consider something when God says something. Say that God speaks to your heart. God gives you something in the Bible. Well, God says something. Now God said something here and nobody got it. What do you say? The chariots rage in the streets. They jostle one another in the broad roads. They seem like torches. They run like lightning. Chariots didn't jostle in the streets. There were no streets. They didn't have torches like lightning. They didn't have torches. And if they had torches, they certainly were not like lightning. Haven't you seen them at night? They're so crowded, they jostle against each other in the broad roads, and they're so fast, their lights look like lightning. Right? Haven't you seen them? Now, this was 2,500 years ago. God said it would happen, and you know what? It did. It happened just like God said. The chariots came, and they did have torches, and they did run like lightning. It happened just like God said. In Obadiah 1:4, we talked about this also, right? Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there will I bring you down, says the Lord. God 2,500 years ago described maybe like a space station or airplanes in the sky. There were no airplanes in the sky back then. There were no space stations back then. What do you mean? How you're going to hide among the stars? Well, people hide among the stars. God said it would happen, and it did happen. And now we know that it did happen, but they didn't know how it was going to happen. They had no clue how God was going to do that, but it did happen. In Jeremiah 10, you think you've got things figured out because you're like thinking, you're planning. And you think you got things figured out, and maybe you even know what the call of God is. And you think, okay, this is how I'm going to make it happen. And God says, it's not up to you to make it happen. It's up to me to make it happen. It's up to you to stay put, relax, and have some faith rest in your heart. And simply trust me because I'm going to make it happen. And I'm going to show you that I am God in your life. Hey, get this. You have a God in your life. There is a God on the throne in heaven. And He's the God that's in your life. It's not some other God, and it's not some relationship, it's not some possession. There is no other God. Nothing else is going to answer you like the God of your life. Elijah had fun with that one. Yeah, the 450 prophets of Baal, because Jezebel was killing all of God's prophets, he took on the 450 prophets of Baal. And what did he do? He gave them a challenge. He said, I tell you what, guys, this is what we're going to do. And this is what he told Israel because they were following after false gods. I'm going to build an altar to my God. And you guys, all 450 of you, build an altar to Baal. And I'm going to build an altar too. And whoever has fire come down from the sky and consume the offering on the altar, he's the one who's got Israel. How about that? But can you imagine somebody say, okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put together a few rocks and I'm going to put a nice piece of steak on one of these rocks. And if fire comes down from heaven, is God's real? And if it comes down to your relationship, or if it comes down to whatever guy or girl, or if it comes down to whatever job, or if it comes down to whatever money or provision or thing that it is that you're into, then your God is real. How's that sound? This is the offer you made him. So this is fine. Sounds good. So all these guys, they build an offer to Baal. And they start whipping themselves and dancing around and praying to Baal. And they start going at it more just to get Baal. And Baal doesn't answer. And Elijah said, what's the matter? You got on vacation? Maybe he's tired and he fell asleep. Maybe he's busy. What's the matter? And he couldn't get it done. So Isaiah checked this out. He took the offering, put it on the altar, took a whole bunch of water, doused the offering. Made a little moat around his altar. Made a moat. Okay, let's soak it. As you burn offerings, let's soak it. Let's make it fun. Let's make it impossible. And fire comes down from heaven and consumes the offering, and then it consumes the false prophets. You get what's going on? God is a God of the impossible. You can have your plans, but your plans don't amount to much. God is a God of the impossible. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in a man who walks to direct his own steps. It's not in me to direct my own steps. What do you mean it's not in me? I have a mind to think with, don't I? Not if you don't have the mind of Christ. You have no mind at all if you don't have the mind of Christ. You just have a head full of dust. Oh Lord, it's not in the way of a man to direct his own steps. A man has his plan, but God has his ways. And it's not in the way of a man to direct his own steps. I can figure it out, I think, but God shows me my figuring wasn't really worth much. And then I can think, well, maybe God won't come through after all, and I figure out God does come through after all. hey, Lazarus was dead. And what did they say? They called to him, Lazarus is sick. And Jesus said, he's not sick, he's asleep, guys. And they said, well, if he's asleep, why wake him? They were kind of thick. If he's asleep, why wake him? And then Jesus tells them, he's dead. Let's stay two more days. And Thomas was brilliant. Hey, maybe we'll go over there so we can die with him. And Jesus said, let's stay a couple more days. Comes to Bethany, you know, Lazarus is dead for 4 days now. And they say, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But you see, it's too late. It's over. It's done. The game is over. He is gone. He is dead. And he's now rotting. And his body stinks. It's done, God. It's too late. There's nothing we can do about it now, God. And he said, don't you know that I'm the resurrection and the life? And he said, yes, we know that at the last day, now I'm the resurrection and the life. Hey, Lazarus, come out of there. Roll the stone away. Lazarus, come out of there. But you can't do that. He's dead. Come out of there. What's too late with God? Lazarus was dead for 4 days. What's too late with God? What is the point where God will no longer be faithful? What is the point where God will no longer answer prayer? What is the point where God will no longer be true to you? What is the point where God will forsake you? When He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The eternal God says never. When does that end? What is the point where God's promises are up? He's the eternal God. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Which one of these promises is out of date now? None of them. Not a one. You see, all the counsel, he said, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my good pleasure. We're funny, we people. We don't get it. We like to be in charge because we like to live in this illusion that we're capable of doing something. Yeah, capable of doing anything. What can I do? I'm made of dust and I don't know much. I know that this is a table and this is a chair. I've learned that. Except for one problem. I know that's a rock, but maybe it will become a man. Because God said that He can make men, He can make children of Abraham out of the rocks if He had to. So what do I know now? I know that I can swim or I can sink. But how is it that Peter walked on the water? Hey, you can't do that, Peter. Nobody told Peter. All that Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, okay, come on, buddy. And Peter jumps out of the boat. He forgot he can't walk on water. And then what happened? Then he remembered. And what happened? God grabbed him. Didn't even sink. Don't be afraid to take a step of faith. You won't sink. God will uphold you with His right hand. That's what the Word of God says, that He'll uphold you with His right hand. Right hand speaks of power. God will uphold you with His right hand. All His counsel will stand. What is it in your life that you're trying to figure out? I tell you one thing, you can try to figure out all you can. God will do what God will do, and that's what God will do. It will be as He has said. God says, I'm going to do something for you that's special. And God's going to do something for you that's special. God said, if you pray, I'll answer you. Why do people not want to pray? Because they don't believe He'll answer them. Well, according to your faith, be it unto you. If the Bible said, ask and you shall receive in Matthew chapter 7, then I know that if I ask, I will receive. So what does that tell me? What does it take to receive? How much faith does it take? It takes enough faith to ask. Hey, how many of you guys have ever gone to a parent and said, can I have something? Can I have a dollar? They said, no. But they're human parents. They're not God. So What happens if God said, you know, somebody say, hey, you ask me for a dollar, I'll give you one. Can I have it? Here you go. So God said, ask me and you will receive it. Do you believe it? Well, sometimes I do, but God, honestly, to be honest with you, sometimes I don't. God said, don't worry about the fact that you don't have the capacity to believe me right now. I'll do it anyway. Why? Because all my counsel will stand. See, it wasn't Abraham's faith that brought Isaac. Abraham's faith didn't come around until after Isaac, until it was time to put him on the altar. But when Jesus told him, it was a Christophany, the angel was talking about Jesus that Abraham talked to, and he said, I've seen God. When Jesus told Abraham, listen, you're going to have a son. And Abraham laughed. And Sarah laughed. And they said in their hearts, there is no way. Look at what I look like. Look at what things are. Look at the circumstance. There is no way. And it happened. Don't you get it? Whatever God says, it's going to happen. God gives you a promise, it's going to happen. God gives you a call, it's going to happen. God says He loves you, He really does. In Jeremiah 33, God says He loves you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness He will draw you, and He will. God says, ask me for something, I'll give it to you, and He does. Why? He's not a man that he should lie. We have the ability to lie. God does not. God doesn't mess with His children. He doesn't mess with you. He doesn't tease you. God doesn't mess with His children. All His counsel will stand. You won't understand how He'll do it. But in the end, you'll turn around and say, wow, that was God. But you won't understand how He'll do it. Why? Because God's mind is bigger than mine. Turn to Isaiah 55 for a moment. In verse 8, the Word of God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. Okay, well, I'm already done. Okay, I may as well hang it up right now. My thoughts are not God's thoughts, and His ways are not my ways. Don't even begin to try to figure it out. Don't even try to figure it out. You will not succeed. Simply believe. Just trust Him. And if you can't, then don't worry about it. He'll do it anyway. See, even if I am not faithful, even if I don't believe, He abides faithful. It's not contingent on my belief. It's His counsel, not mine. I get my faith built when God comes through. It comes by hearing, and the hearing by the Word in Romans 10. But then I see God come through because He gave me His Word. Every time. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper the thing for which I sent it. God gives you something, it will accomplish what He said. Simple as that. It's not complicated. He said it. He'll do it. It's not complicated. Are you looking something tough in your life? a sickness, a hope, family, whatever. Looking for at something tough in your life. God's word will accomplish what it was sent to accomplish. God's promises will accomplish what they have been sent to accomplish, and it will prosper the one that they were sent to. You got 7,837 of them right here. And every one of them is yea and amen. Not one of them can fall to the ground. Every one of them is true. And every one of them has been given to you because you are the beloved of God. Do you get that? You're the beloved of God. You're the one He's chosen. You are the beloved of God. You're the one He calls precious in His eyes. You're the beloved of God. Do you think God won't be faithful to His beloved? I think He will be. There's never been a time when God did not do what He has said. There's never been a time, there's never been a promise in this entire Bible that God would not fulfill to anyone who said, God, give me this promise. His ways are past finding out. God ain't going to tell you how He's going to do it. He's just going to tell you that He's going to do it. And the how part is not up to you. The how part is up to God. God's the one who's going to figure out how to get you from A to B. You can't find your way. Why? Because He's the eternal God and you're made of dust living in time. You see, He declares the end from the beginning. He tells you what will end, what the end will be from the beginning, from the get-go. He tells it to you from the get-go. Turn with me to Isaiah 43 for a second. In verse 19, He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? It's going to happen. Am I not going to let you know that it's going to happen? Shall you not know what's going to happen? Behold, it's going to spring forth. Turn to Isaiah 42 and verse 9. He said, a new thing in the B part of the verse. A new thing, new things I do declare. That's it. I'm going to tell you something. And I'm going to tell you something you didn't know. And it's going to be something new in your life. And I'm going to declare this. And what does the rest of the promise say? And He said, before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. Why? Because He declares the end from the beginning. That's why. He'll say, hey, listen, I'm going to come through for you. And He's going to come through for you. Hey, listen, I've got these promises for you. Grab a hold on to them. And you know what? Every one of those promises come to pass. Says, hey, listen, I gave you something. I promised, like you were in prayer and I spoke to your heart and I gave you something. You know, it's going to happen. Hey, you asked for something, you're praying for someone. Don't be afraid. The situation may look impossible, but who cares? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Don't be afraid. Hey, you know what? God can be trusted. Simple as that. God can be trusted. What is it that's going on? God can be trusted. Does it look impossible? That's the way He likes it. See, you can't figure it out. And you never will. It doesn't matter. God can be trusted. You see, His ways are above our ways. You know, He thinks on a plateau we can't comprehend. that He can be trusted. How unsearchable. How unsearchable. You can't think it through. You can't find the evidence and think it through. You can't collect the data and think it through. It does not work that way. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Don't even try. You're not going to make it. Every time I thought I finally figured it out, God said, no, you did not. I found I was completely wrong when I thought I figured out how something's going to happen. I never could figure Him out. All I could do was trust Him. What is it? Doesn't matter. Just trust Him. Is it big? Does it seem big in your eyes? That's because you're very small. You're simply a person. Everything's big in my eyes. Really. Absolutely everything is big in my eyes. But I'm very small. I'm only a person. I don't have much ability and I'm not very smart. But God's thoughts are so much bigger. You get it? God's thoughts are bigger. Like, hey, you know what? There's nothing that you can find better. The world doesn't have the answers. Science does not have the answers. And you don't have the answers apart those that you get from His Word. It's all right here. Here are the answers, right here. How are you going to do it? Well, fire is going to come down from heaven. Well, the Red Sea is going to open up. Well, the Jordan is going to split in half. How are you going to do it? Well, I'm going to just walk on the water. That's how I'm going to do it. How are you going to do it? The widow is starving. She has no more cruises, no more oil. And God says, find all the jars you can get. He leads the prophet. Find all the jars you can get. But I'm just going to have this little bit of wheat and a little bit of oil for me and my son, and then we're going to die. No, I don't think so. You're the man of God is there. God says to the man of God, tell her to give her all the jars she can. And he pours out the one little bit of oil and he fills up all the jars. And when she has no more jars, that's when the oil stops. You know what? Don't find all the jars you can find. And if you run out, go buy some. Steal, rob, beg, whatever. Get all the jars you can. Don't steal. Get all the jars you can. Why? God's going to do something for you. Do you understand that? God is going to do something for you. It's going to be beautiful in your life. He says, I make all things beautiful in their time. God's going to do something beautiful in your life. Look for Him. Look for Him. Trust Him. Look for it. Look for a promise, then look for the promise to become impossible, and then look for it to become fulfilled. That's how it works. Promise given, impossible, fulfilled. That's how it works. That's how it works. Every single time. Go into the promised land. Giants! You know, in Judges we find out that the giants were terrified of little old Israel. Don't worry about the giants. God's already given you the land. Don't be afraid of things that are not fearful. Never be intimidated by things that are not intimidating to God. Only be intimidated if something is intimidating to God. I remember when I was a little kid, I was in sixth grade. And this kid who was older than I was, a couple of years older, bigger, with all his friends come, and he started messing with me. I was walking home, I was in the school play, and I was walking home from play practice, and my brother, who was in high school, came to come and walk home with me. And this kid who was a few years older, and a bunch of his friends came over, and they were going to mess with me. And he even said to me, he shoved me and said, I'm going to mess you up. He didn't know something. I had my brother there. My brother is tough. He was a brown belt in karate when he was 12. And my brother just looks at the kid and he grabs him by the collar and he lifts him up a few inches and he says, "Who's going to mess who up?" And the guy says, "Oh, I was only kidding." He said, "I'm not." The kid and his little buddies ran away. All the girls that were with him were laughing at him. That's like God in a way, isn't it? "Hey, I'm in trouble here, God. The situation is going to mess me up." God turns and says, "The situation? Who's going to mess who up? Situation is nothing. I'm the God of your situation. I'm on the throne. Your situation is not on the throne. I'm on the throne. I don't care what it looks like, Israel. I don't care if there's a Red Sea in front of you. I'm on the throne. And I'll be faithful. I don't get it, God. Why did you do it this way?" Get this, Ezekiel chapter 19, verse 29. "Yet the house of Israel says, 'The way of the Lord is not fair.'" The house of Israel says, "God, you're not fair." Can you ever say this? "God, you're not fair. Like, I get all the hardship and the bad guys get all the glory. It's always tough for me, and the people that are giving me a hard time or the circumstances that are so difficult or the thing that is overwhelming me, it's not going away. God, you're not fair." And God says, "O house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair and your ways which are not fair? Is it that you think that somehow you should have no difficulty in your life? Is that what makes me unfair? As I come through in your weakness, as my strength is perfected in you, as I come through for you every single time, and you accuse me of not being faithful, is it me that's not fair? Or is it you?" God comes through every single time. Don't accuse Him of not being fair. No, really, He's not fair. He really isn't fair. Because if I got fair, I'd be in hell. You're right, He's not fair. He's so mind-bogglingly beyond fair, I can't comprehend it. He gives me what I don't deserve, and He doesn't give me what I do deserve. Go figure. I deserve hell, and I get heaven. I don't deserve anything, and I get all of God and His provisions and His loving kindness and His tenderness and gentleness toward me. Oh God, you're not fair. You are so far beyond fair, I can't even begin to understand it. Thank God He's not fair. Thank God, because if He was fair, I would have to give Him something back. And I have nothing to give Him. All I can give Him is my heart. Hey, in your circumstance, give Him your heart. Don't give your heart to your circumstance. Give your heart to God. How many believers give their heart to their circumstance? And the circumstance becomes their frame of reference, and the circumstance dictates to them what they can do, what they can think, and what God in their minds is capable of. Don't give your circumstance your heart. Give it to God. Why? He'll come through. He will. He'll come through. Why did it happen, God? Very simple. In Romans 8:29, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son." That's why it happened. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Why did it happen? Because God needed some divine sandpaper. God needed a divine chisel and a divine hammer. You know, when Michelangelo made the statue of David, he started out with a hunk of rock, and it was hard as nails. And man, he had to take a hammer and a chisel, and he was whacked away at that rock. And then you have this statue that's famous all around the world. You think people like Billy Graham, different ones, Malcolm Smith, Charles Stanley, DJ Kennedy, Dwight Moody, do you think these people got it because things were easy? No, they figured it out. They were conformed to the image of Christ because God took a hammer and a chisel and started whacking away at their lives. And He made something amazing. We don't like God's chisel, and we don't like His sandpaper. And then we say, boy, I wish I was like that person. And God says, I know. I'm making you that way. I wish I was more like Christ. God says, I know. I'm making you that way. You see, God had planned it. And He'll take care of it. You won't get it, but He did plan it. You see, this is why it says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. What's His purpose? Well, it says in 8:29, to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's His purpose. There's your call. How's He going to do that? He's going to make everything easy. Well, I don't want Him to make everything easy. I just don't need it so hard. Okay, fine. Maybe you will look like the Bart Simpson version of David. Where you're kind of round and undefined. Really, that's what believers want. Hey, listen. It's either in the book or it ain't. It's either true or it isn't. Don't have the ability to believe it's true? It's okay. God's still faithful to you. Will He condemn you for it? No, never. He'll simply show you that it really is true. Or you may enjoy the process less. Because there's going to be a whole lot of fear that goes along with it then. But in the end, you'll realize that God was faithful. And that it was true. And that every single one of God's promises really is yea and amen. And that He will in fact do, as He said, all His counsel will stand, and He really will do all His good pleasure. You know where we believers run into trouble? When we start trying to tell God how to do it. God, this is how you're going to make it happen. Do you understand? And God says, you don't get it. You don't get it. He said, I'm God. You're not. You get it? I don't tell God how to do His thing. Because His ways are unsearchable. And they are higher than my ways. God says, I will do it and I will make it perfect. And I will make all things beautiful in their time. And His ways are unsearchable. And I can't. It's not up to me. The ways of a man are not in himself. Do you get it? His pleasure will be done. And His counsel will stand. Amen. Mm-hmm.